just don't have that much time. Can you hear me?
This is take two. I had to cut out the other one because it was, you know, getting a little too edgy. So this is the Californication.
I got too personal, everyone, and I took my shirt off. Sorry.
So sorry, lost episode. I'm gonna. Maybe I'll keep it around. I don't know.
Yeah, just send that one to my mom.
Okay, season one, episode 10, Devil's Threesome. We got Mike Lamas over there. We got D22 Soso, Wayne Chung, and again, shout out to Joe Kim. Thanks for the donations. Hey, did you see who directed this episode?
I did not. Who?
It's John Dahl.
Who's John Dahl?
He directed Rounders.
Wow. Man, that is disappointing to hear because I don't want to spoil. Well, this was my least favorite episode of the season thus far, but... you know, so does he also direct other episodes of Californication?
This is the first one, season one. The first one, first Californication one, he directs some later because I actually IMDb'd it because I was like, did I miss, like, did he direct the other ones? Did I, you know, miss that?
I wonder if Tom Capinos has the same issue with John Dahl in this episode as Hank Moody has with the director of his movie. You know, he ruined an otherwise good thing. I don't know, man. This was, you know, I don't know. I mean, is Californication a juvenile show? Like,
yeah,
does it play
so.
For juvenile humor? What?
Yeah, I would think so. It's like, yeah, okay, it's like mature fairy tale busting juvenile, like.
Sure. I mean, there's definitely some really adult stuff on the show, but they'll always go for a gag, right? Like, they're not opposed to having some kind of gag, and we certainly get that in this episode in an interesting way, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
But that was... And, you know, I bring up that you were on Jeopardy, except, like, they're like, oh, what was it like? Or what was... I'm like, I don't really watch the show, so I don't even know how to describe it. So after the episode, we're going to... get your full take on what it was like being on Jeopardy.
Oh, they'll definitely stick around for that then.
And rest in peace, Alex Trebek.
Rest in peace, Alex. I hope I look like you when I'm 80. I hope I look like you while you're still alive.
79.
Yeah, well then I don't want to look like I'm at 80 then.
Yeah.
But I'll definitely, my narcissist heart would love to talk about my experiences on Jeopardy. And, you know, it would be nice if Jeopardy would release the archives so that we could, you know, show, like, clips of my performance on Jeopardy. And that would, you know, help generate interest in the show because most people in the world are interested in me, especially as they go into this kind of difficult period where they're replacing Alex Trebek. So, yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Jeopardy
Let's do
host.
California.
Yeah. Jeopardy host, if you're watching this podcast, you have your replacement for Alex Trebek right here. His name is Michael Lamas. So.
I would be a great Jeopardy host, but I think Ken Jennings has me. Jennings has me.
Pipped.
Yeah, if I could get on Jeopardy, Wayne, I would totally get you on. I would make
I would
no, not
so
the
bad.
Show. No, I wouldn't make you a contestant. I would make what I would do is I would change like the nature of the show. And I would have a Vanna White. So what I would do is I just have you like touch each screen. You just like touch your palm to each screen before every clue is read, and you have to wear like really sequiny dresses. And I think this would be a huge improvement for the show.
Okay. All right, let's get on to the episode. I was really, I just like you. This was I wouldn't say I didn't like the episode. I was just very like, okay, this happened, A happened, B happened, one happened, two happened, and I'm like,
sure,
okay.
Yeah, definitely. To me, in this episode, one of the issues, I guess, you know, you had told me about how quickly scenes are cut in movies, you know, that like most scenes in movies and are you know, they're actually much shorter than people think. Like people don't realize how short most scenes are like a cut. And I don't, in my judgment of Californication before this was, there were a lot of different scenes. But I didn't think it was going like in this episode, there were actually only a really small number of scenes where they kept kind of cutting back and forth between them in a way that was a little bit different. And maybe it was the director. I don't know. But so I don't know. And you know, just I don't know, there wasn't that much that happened in this episode that was all that consequential. It was kind of it was really just kind of like punchy, campy, maybe. So, but yeah, anyways, I'm glad you guys are watching. I'm glad you guys like Californication. I love Californication. I want to make that clear. And you know, this is obviously a labor of love for Wayne and I, since you know, you guys have been frankly letting us down on the Patreon subscriptions quite a bit, right? And you know, I have to say, as an audience, you guys are really disappointing thus far. Wayne and
Except
I
Joe,
expect
right?
what? Yeah,
Except
Jewel,
Joe.
we have okay, our one mega fan, right, has been like, I don't mean, I'm generalizing here, because those of you who are a mega fan, no plural, they're awesome, right? But the rest of you really got to get on the ball here. Like, it's like, well, you think we just exist to produce content like for you for nothing? Like, this is some kind of like, you know, porn or something like that? Like, you know, our content costs money, right? So
Sure. Electricity. I
yeah.
gotta pay electricity bills.
Exactly, right? I'm like, you know, I need to eat, man, like Latrell Sprewell, you know. So yeah, feed me. All right.
So Hank's sleeping in his apartment, I guess, wakes up from a nightmare. He's like, oh, kiss the tip. I'm just like,
So here's the thing. I don't think he says kiss the tip. I actually watched this scene three times because I was
me
trying to figure it
too.
out. But he says like, oh, kiss the tip. Oh, kiss the tip, right? And I think he's saying, in like wake up speak, don't kiss the tip, right?
That makes more sense, I guess, but
Right,
like,
right. That's why I think it's what's happening, because
okay.
I don't know why is why. I mean, man, I don't really. This is so early in the episode, but
Yeah.
why is it that girls always want to do that? Is it because like their tip likes to be kissed? Because like it's actually a nightmare for us. Like you can't play around with that little dude. Like seriously, like that shit hurts. Like just stop doing that. Like that, you just can't, man. I just, you know, it's like they think, you know, they make fun of us for how bad we are with their anatomy, which, you know, I mean, maybe they don't in general, but I certainly been made fun of many times. But like they're also bad with our anatomy. I'm just saying, and our anatomy's easier. Like you shouldn't be bad with it.
I'm aiming for 50-year-old virgin, so I wouldn't know.
Well, there are plenty of those out there for you.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to figure out what it was, and maybe that was Tom Capino's genius. He just has people like rewind and put so much depth in the episode and never figure it out.
It was really tough to figure out that scene, but there was definitely like some grunting before he says kiss the tip. I even have, you know, I wrote down that I was like, kiss the tip equals don't kiss the tip question mark. Like I didn't know.
Yeah,
I was
that's kind of what I had. Or anyway.
well, ambiguous you know, language can get people interested, right? Now we have to figure out and interpret the show, and you know, there's at least one Shakespeare reference later on, so
Oh,
maybe
there
it's
is.
intentionally ambiguous. There is a Shakespeare reference later on.
Okay, well, I didn't catch it, so you know, you caught something that I didn't.
It actually is coming up pretty quickly.
Okay, well, Hank wakes up to Charlie, who's boxing in the punching bag, and Runkle's like, I guess. He got booted out of his house, and now he's rooming with Hank. And then he accused Marcy of cheating on him with this assistant, Danny California. Hank points out, "You cheated on Marcy first."
Yeah.
And Runkle's like, "Oh." And Runkle
Yeah, so
likes
yeah,
the bro roommate. Yeah, go ahead.
he's got all kinds of justifications for that, I'm sure. Well, I was taken advantage of, you know, like, well, you know, listen, I'm a guy, I can't control myself, but she's a girl, she can control herself. They have to all the time. Like, yeah, but of course he's like boxing, right? Because he has to. This is what you do after a breakup, right? Is and this is super consistent after a divorce. Everybody gets in shape, right? Everybody like hit the
Both
gym, you start
parties.
eating right. Yeah, oh, everybody does, man, because you got to show up the other party, right? And also, you got to get laid. So you're trying to, you know, get yourself in shape again. It's like it's amazing how being in a committed relationship, at least for most people, really makes you go to shit, you know? And then when you get out of it, you start becoming a, you know, a better person again. Yeah.
Surreal.
So, but did you catch the line about emptier than a Michael Bay joint, by the way?
Yes.
You don't have anything to say about that? Because, like, wouldn't you think the director might get blacklisted in Hollywood for saying that about another director? Like, that's cold.
Well, first of all, it was the screenwriter that wrote the line, not the director. But I don't know. I
My
mean,
bad. My
like.
bad, Wayne. My bad. Sorry. I don't understand movies and TV and shit. Sorry.
I know Michael Bay gets ripped on a lot. I do like his style. I know it's not like artsy and in depth, but I like the stories. Like Bad Boys 2 is one of my favorite movies. I like Transformers 1. I know the rest of them are, crappy or got panned, but like he's a business person. Like he gets stuff done, and I don't know the back end, but like he's a professional, and I mean this by like he gets like endorsements to like subsidize his film so he can get a lot of stuff done, because I'm sure the stuff he does is like really expensive. So
Yeah,
I don't
no,
know.
it's definitely a kind of movie making, right? But Michael Bay is kind of like the epitome of what people have said, which is like, Hollywood going for, flash,
Flash,
right,
yeah.
over substance and things like that. And,
I mean,
that
I think his substance is underrated. It's like, if you're looking for something like deep, like Californication, then you
yeah,
watch
you gotta watch
Californication.
Californication, really, for you're plumbing the depths there for sure.
Yeah, but like a lot of the stuff that Michael Bay does has a sort of like human bond, like human, like bro-ish bond, or just like you kind of, I don't know. I think it's underrated. I'm not gonna compare it to like a D movie, but at the same time, it's like, people show up to his stuff for reasons. Like it hits certain people at a level that's like they're broing out, I guess, or dealing with guy stuff.
Michael Bay dealing with
Yeah.
guy stuff?
Yeah, I just mean like, guy, like kind of a bro fantasy, I guess. Like the way he like two guys deal with each other, or with the way they like deal with like women. It's like
Honestly, that's why I watch Californication, not Michael Bay.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, Bad Boys 1 and Bad Boys 2, The Rock. In fact, like The Rock had very little like quote quote sexualization in it. It's only like it progressively got there. Maybe like, Michael Bay's like, "Yo, I gotta sell some movie tickets."
Sure.
I don't know any other show. I mean, some other shows might do that, like, Live with the Bike. Oh, whoops.
I mean, pretty much every show does that, right? It seems like if you want to be like a hit show these days, you gotta at
You gotta do
least show
something,
somebody
yeah.
naked within. Think about though how much nudity was in
It's not, it's
Californication, like the
not.
first few episodes.
Well, yeah, Californication's off the deep end, but Michael Bay doesn't like sell nudity. It's more like
No, not
a
Michael Bay. Not My Michael Bay sells, flash bang.
Yeah, but like the girls he has in there are like they're selling like, or he's like pitching like a fantastical image of a girl, I guess. Like the way
Sure,
that
yeah.
Mike, like Megan Fox, or was it Tia Leoni, which by the way was Michael or David Duchovny's ex-wife.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah.
The way that like it's portrayed, it's like, they're people that are like externally like a fantasy girl, but at the same time like they're trying to like break that thing, which is like very like meta, I guess. I guess, I don't know.
That would
I
be
don't think it's bad at all, but whatever.
okay. It's a good thing.
Except the camera, I mean, I understand the Transformers camera angle when Megan Fox is like washing the car. That's like, okay, that's a little overt, but
See, I have not seen Transformers, but I can imagine there's things like that that are just included that, like you said, it's selling sex, so.
anyway, back to the Michael Bay comment. Yeah, I mean, there's
Yeah.
like shade thrown to what, Brett Ratner, Michael Bay in the show.
And
What else?
Wayne, can I ask you a question? It's been a while since we did our last episode, and had Charlie moved in with Hank at the end of the last
No,
episode, or so
I
we
don't think
just
so.
basically find out at the beginning of this episode that he's living there. Like they didn't cover that. Maybe they cut a scene out, or
I
they
don't think
just,
so. I really
they
don't
just
think so.
they just this is just how they let us know they were living together now,
I mean,
that Charlie got to marry
if
his
I had a
ex.
prop bet, I would bet on no, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, so then we actually get this is actually the scene, and maybe you're not done going over the scene,
Yeah, we're
but
not done. We've seen Runkle ask what Hank has planned for the day. Hank is like, "I don't know. Maybe I'll bang out 10 pages of a book. Maybe I'll just jerk off." And Charlie's like, "Yeah, maybe you and me later hit the gym." And
okay. So that was hilarious because that's like every day for me. Like the way that it was executed, Hank was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna do all this, I'm gonna do all that, I'm gonna do this," and it was like, "That's in my head. Like every night I go to bed, that's what I'm gonna do the next day. And then when I wake up, I jerk off and sleep off the rest of the
I
day.
was
Like
about to make
that's
fun
how
of
life is."
you. I was
No,
about to make
totally.
fun of you, except the get up and jerk off part. I was gonna be like, goes out with a classy date, and
No, that doesn't
it's
happen,
not a good
especially in
fit.
the
It's just not
pandemic.
a good fit.
By the way, I've never had a classy date in my life. I've had dates.
No.
Classy is
Don't
asking a little
believe
bit
you.
too much. I don't deserve classy either. I
Don't
mean, have
believe
you
you.
seen me? Like, no, I don't deserve it. But
You
Yeah,
do.
so that's kind of that. But okay, before that, right, before that happened, and of course Charlie wanted to go to the gym, and I appreciate that, right? I was feeling a lot of this episode because, hopefully you can't tell, but I've gained a lot of weight over the pandemic. You look like you've lost weight, by the way. And
It's
I
called
now have,
transferring it over to you. It's like, boom,
well,
you
yeah,
have
it
my
has
weight.
happened. Unfortunately, it has happened. I wish I could transfer it over to someone else, but I now have a plan, and for the last 4 days, I've been on my plan. And that's a real, that's real success. So I have to continue this plan through the end of February in order to get to the weight that I want to get to. And it's not going to be easy because it's a borderline starvation plan. But I've done it many times before, and I'll get there again. So I felt like Charlie. But in this scene was actually where the Shakespeare reference took place.
Okay.
Charlie wanted to go out and get some ladies, and Hank was like, well, it offers the promise of something better, but it sure as shit ain't live. And then Charlie's like, oh great, I'm finally on the market, and you're gonna get thee to a nunnery, right? And get thee to a nunnery is what Hamlet told Ophelia, right? It's this really big line, and where Hamlet tells Ophelia, get thee to a
You're right.
nunnery,
I completely missed that.
right? And nunnery in Hamlet has this
Yes,
double
yes.
entendre where it's, a whorehouse or a nunnery, and it's not clear which one Hamlet is saying and things like that. I don't think it's a particularly deep reference, and I don't think that Hamlet has any reference here. This is
Well,
just like a kind of like,
Hamlet really like, thought positively of Ophelia, thought, so.
yes, seems to be the case.
So I would think that,
I know not seems, madam.
the nunnery wouldn't be, a whorehouse in Hamlet's case.
It's a double entendre.
All right, all right, all right.
So yeah. So then basically we get, that's the first scene, right? I do find it interesting how sometimes this show has these really, really long first scenes before they get you into the credits, and then other times it's not. Other times it pretty quickly goes right into the credits. I don't think there's anything of note there, but
So, yeah, I don't even know what's going on. Hank obliges with Runkle's request to go out, hit the gym, or something like that, I guess. So,
does he? I guess,
I
sure.
don't know.
We learned a long time ago from the first girl that Hank dated. Not even, was her name the redhead?
Oh, you mean
She
in the
was,
show?
yeah,
I think it starts
the
with M.
lawyer. What?
I think it starts with M. I don't remember. It's been a long time.
Marilyn? No. Okay. Well, anyways, I don't remember her name, but it's the for, she made fun of him for never going to the gym. So we know Hank is not really, he doesn't really go to the gym. Even though, I mean, like David Duchovny's in
Meredith.
Meredith, yeah, he's
Yeah.
in pretty good shape for his age. So
Well, Meredith did mention the only exercise you get is banging, so
yeah, well, and he
that's
does a lot, so
something.
maybe that's enough exercise.
Yeah.
Everyone always wants to think that burns a lot of calories. For me, it definitely does not. I just
I
lay
wouldn't
there.
know.
So yeah.
Yeah. So next scene, Danny California bursts in Runkle's office, has some small talk. Runkle's like, Then Runkle's like, "What's your 2 weeks' notice up?" And Danny California's like, "Things have gotten weird after the S&M inappropriate boss behavior, subordinate, Runkle banging her, the threesome with Marcy, her cheating with them." And Danny California said, "He didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
She started it." And Runkle's like, "Exactly." And then she's like, "That's where free will comes in."
Oops. Yeah. I mean, that's, she took responsibility, and then she said, but you have free will, which means you have responsibility, and then she blackmails him. Right.
Yeah, and then she was like, she wants to stay and learn. And Runkle's like, "You want to learn from me after you systematically broke up my marriage, and now she wants to help her career. She wants him to help her career." He's like, "F off." Then she's like, "All right, I'll go somewhere else for career guidance, like HR." And especially when, what she went through, like going on his desk, the spanking, crawling on the desk, the, sexual humiliation. Then Runkle is like, "You have an excellent makings of an agent."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Where do I start?" Runkle's like, "Go through that slush pile of scripts and find something that we can sell." Then he
Yeah.
spanks her. I'm just
And
like,
then he continued to do the sexual harassment, right, by
yeah.
spanking her afterwards. Very strange. This kind of scene is like, I know how like the dude bros are gonna interpret this scene. So it's like, they're gonna be like, see, that's what all women are just trying to do. They're trying to use, it's like, okay, guys. Like look, these kinds of things are actually pretty rare. Obviously, when you're in things like, really big time agencies, you're a little bit more likely to see it than other places. But yeah, okay. I mean, just kind of moving on here. Then we, any
Yeah, I
thoughts?
mean, what was it? There, no, it's okay. I was thinking there was something, but I don't know.
I mean,
Like,
you and I
no,
have both.
no, the
You
free
well,
will,
yeah.
the free will thing is like, I don't know if that was a reference to like John Milton's Paradise Lost, but it's like one thing is the trippy thing about the do we have free will or if God is all knowing or God controls whatever. It's like, okay, so if in Paradise Lost, John Milton, like the adversary, whatever, Satan falls, Lucifer falls. How much can that be free will? Because if like God creates us and has a plan,
I have
what
no
has?
idea.
Because the angels aren't supposed to have free will.
Okay.
And yet, like Lucifer rebels, Lucifer assassin rebels. Then
Well,
it's,
that maybe he had to.
yeah, it's like
Maybe.
it was kind of it was like how, like the rebellion isn't free will. If angels don't have free will, if humans were the
Sure.
first creations of free will, I don't know.
I mean, let me ask, what, so what does it matter if Charlie has free will or not?
It's more just like.
If, by the way, if Charlie doesn't have free will, then neither does Danny, right?
Yeah, but Danny said it wasn't your fault.
It's no, I mean,
And
it's no,
then th
yeah.
this, because in Paradise Lost, it was like, Lucifer Satan was kind of like it. Like I was just like cursed, doomed. This is the role that I'm playing.
Right. Like, kind of like me. Yeah, I get it.
And then that's kind of the way that Charlie's like, right, it wasn't my fault. And then she puts in the free will aspect, and the thing is like, how much free will do we really have? Because there's like even a scientific debate, like are we a slave to our like biology and physics and
Sure,
all this stuff?
I mean, I don't know the answer.
I
People,
don't either.
this is, seems like a really big issue that's still being heavily debated. But, what's here's the thing. What's the difference? And then what's the difference? That's the thing that always gets me. If I have free will or not, does it really change? Like the big difference, right, is responsibility, right? That's what changes with regard to free will. If we don't have free will, then we're not really responsible for actions. Well, what does that mean, right? The most practical place for it having implications would be in things like crime and punishment, which I suppose this would be a relevant situation. But whether people have free will or not, that doesn't mean people don't get held responsible. It doesn't mean we can't, it doesn't mean we don't have to exclude certain people from certain things, right? I mean, if we don't have free will, then I guess, I
I don't
mean,
know.
is
I don't.
everything predetermined?
I was kind of arguing this with somebody, and he was, and the answer is no. And I'm like, the older I get, there's definitely variance, but there's definitely a lot of predestiny as well. Just like,
If we, okay, but if we don't have free will, then how could anything, there are no choices, right?
I don't mean like, well, free will is one aspect, but predestiny is like another. So like, my kind of is this, like we don't always know what we're gonna do, but when other people watch us, they're like, oh, this is gonna happen. Like you could kind of predict some people's behavior, like like
Okay.
is person A gonna go on a diet? No, he hasn't gone on a
Sure.
diet in 10 years.
Fuck off, man. Thanks a lot for that. Thanks a lot. No, really. Thanks a lot, man. Like, oh, purely coincidental, decision to make that reference. God damn it. All right.
Okay, all right. I'll do a better one. Person A says he's gonna quit poker, but he doesn't quit.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You could tell all this kind of stuff. Like, that doesn't, I mean, sure, you could, some people can make predictions on, some you can't, but it just means you're, with some you're working on incomplete knowledge. I mean, if we don't have free will, if we're not responsible for any of our actions, then what is governing our actions? And you could say variance, but like, that's not
No, the
what point.
variance, sometimes the variance is external, like say opportunities or like bad
What you think is variance
coincidence.
might not actually be variance.
Sure. I
That's
mean,
just what you experience it as. It feels like you're just kind of floating about, right? Like what am I going to be doing from 2 hours from now, right? I don't know. There's a number of, I mean, I'll probably be jerking off, right? But
I was gonna
there's like,
guess that, but anyway.
yeah, but I mean, that doesn't like,
But to who, right? To who? That's the variance.
yeah, right. Ex no, very good point, right? Like, which Pornhub scene will I be watching today, right? Like, yeah, absolutely, right? Which will be the recommended scenes today, and where will that take me in
The
as I get,
algorithm's predestiny.
as I get increasingly frustrated with my inability to find the absolutely perfect woman on porn? Like, it, I don't know, right? Where will I go? Yeah, but those things only feel like that because of the way that we experiencing things that I experience that as, variance. But actually, if I don't have free will and nobody has free will, it seems like it's just put in motion. And that's why when I kill you,
I laugh, but like,
like,
one day when I'm in the obituaries, it's admission of guilt right here on the podcast.
it's, hey, I'm just saying, but I hope you will pre-write me a letter saying, please don't punish this guy because he didn't have any choice in what he did. And, I
No,
don't.
if that goes, I'm gonna be like, no, he totally did it.
No, you won't. You'll be dead. So you won't give a shit. You'll be, unless maybe there's an afterlife, and then they just laugh at us for thinking we had to make choices. Or they say, actually, free will was totally a thing. And, you made all the wrong choices, you piece of shit. So,
Sure.
you're gonna go hang out with Lucifer. Oh, by the way, Lucifer didn't have free will, but fuck him anyways.
Next scene, they're at a boxing ring, and Runkle's practicing boxing with this hottie. I'm gonna call her Hottie Boxer because I don't, because she,
She
I
has
don't think
no
she,
name.
I think she, they might have revealed it like later on, but because I was like, noting it, so I just called
I'll
her
bet she
Hottie
ha I'll look
Boxer.
on the IMDb because I'll bet she has a name because they always give like everyone names even when they don't
Sure.
have them in episodes.
Shout out to Amber Heard.
Right.
Amber. But no, the surfer girl was like one of the names. She didn't have a name,
Yeah, she might have had. You're right. Yeah, maybe she might have a
well,
name.
whatever the case, I hope the general audience thinks she's attractive so I could just like, abridge call her Hottie Boxer. So Hottie Boxer tells Hank to stop smoking, and Hank is like, what are you gonna do? Kick my ass? And Hottie's like, Hank? Hank Moody? And then Runkle's
Yeah.
like, you better get in the ring. Hank's like, damn good. Hottie Box is like, you're afraid to get your ass kicked by a woman? Then, taunts him. And
Yeah, and he says, "No, I'm actually in touch with that emotion, right?" Yeah.
and I noticed something in this scene. Hank has a tattoo on his ring finger.
He does?
Yeah.
A tattoo?
Yeah. I'm guessing it says Karen or something alluding to Karen.
What a
If you go
freak
back to the
show.
scene, he has a tattoo on his ring finger, like around, like as if it was a ring.
That's actually really wild. Are you sure it wasn't like just like a sun mark because he like normally wears a ring there?
I don't know. Prop
May
bet.
and he maybe because he has his ring off, or maybe he, possibly David Duchovny was hanging out with some like 19-year-old and they got like some kind of fake rings, or fake tattoos. I'll go back and look. Sounds wild. I'm still gonna guess like weird tan lines because he takes off his rings during the filming or something like that. But well, he was still married at the time this was filming, right?
I have no idea. But anyway, next scene down in California is reading scripts in Charlie's office when Mia strolls in. She's looking for Charlie to read her masterful manuscript that she stole from Hank. Down in California says he's not here. Mia's like, well, I wrote this novel. I was hoping Charlie can see if I'm on the right track. A 16-year-old girl beds an older man. It's called Fucking and Punching. Danny California is like, I'd be happy to read it. Mia has her read it ASAP before, she gets caught stealing Hank's manuscript or something. Or for the sake of the story. I mean, a lot of it's already like kind of losing me because this feels like such
Right.
an artificial setup.
It's super artificial because Charlie, I mean, he is like a big time agent, right? He's not taking on like super speculative clients. I guess it's a friend of a friend or whatever, but like the way she describes the book and Danny California is like, ooh, that sounds super interesting, right? I'm like, no. What it sounds like is absolutely horrific teen schlock that's going to be garbage. Like some 16-year-old girl just wrote about her own crap with some like creepy old man. And then like, it's like, Lolita is not good because of the story, right? Like Lolita is not a classic novel because it's like, oh wow, look at this dude writing about a young girl sleeping with an older man. Like, it's good because Nabokov wrote it. You know, like Mia writing a update to Lolita, there's absolutely no reason to think that's going to be anything but what some stupid high school student would write. Like, that's going to be just pure trash. So, like, of course, might it be good? Sure. But odds wise, there's no way like a big time agent is going to deign to read this. Even like a wannabe, like up and comer like Danny, like, come on, man. Like, just, I'd be like, you know, maybe, I don't know. How do people get books read? I really don't know.
So to be fair, this is almost like, people in their late teens or early 20s are like, yo, I know what's going on. You have this hot thing, and they kind of like don't realize that in order to actually be a hot thing, there's like a lot of things that need to go on. So I, in that sense, it's a little realistic, but for because what like Tom Campinos is a genius, just like writing all this stuff. But for this one, if this is like the quote unquote worst moment, it's not bad. But it's like I just feel like a lot of suspension of disbelief had to go through for this scene to go down. And then when it did go down, it's like kind of get it. So I was like, young people, like I know what's going on. I'm an up and comer. Like this is hot. Blah blah blah.
You're
And
you're talking about Danny,
both
right?
of them, both of them.
Because I totally believe that Mia could be a delusional 16-year-old, right? In the way that like what you're like in the way that people think they're going to become like great actors or whatever. Like, you know, like
Sure.
teenagers can be. And actually, the truth is, as a teenager and as a young person, you should shoot for the sky. But like, so I get that. But like, the odds of the part, it's Danny that seems unrealistic to me. I don't know. Maybe, yeah, I
It's
guess.
both. I feel like this is very common, when people are younger, we're like, I know what's going on in this world. I
Yeah,
create and
maybe.
or I created this thing, and there's like, oh, I see you created this thing. This is gonna be like lit. But the thing is, they just don't have enough like life experience and industry experience to see what it takes to actually ascend.
And it
So.
just so happened to be like the very first day that she was like on the path to becoming an agent for
Yeah.
real, right, or whatever. And she's like, ooh, Charlie's not here. I can pick up my client. I can pick up a client. Like, I mean, it's pretty contrived, but I suppose. Sure. In the real world, it might happen, but then she would quickly start reading the book and realize how crappy it is. You know, because it's written by, you know, a 16-year-old who can't actually write. But since the book is actually by Hank, maybe it's not crappy, you know, at least if we are to believe this character is a good writer. So, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, then,
By the
yeah,
way,
so.
I wrote a play when I was a senior in high school. And in the play, a teenage girl, you know,
That's an older man.
through tears in her eyes, shot her grandparents. So, you know, first off, this is why you don't read things that, you know, like first-time author teenagers submit to you. Secondly, thank you to my teacher who didn't like turn me into like the
Got an
school's
A.
mental health.
Gave you an A.
What? I
Gave
think
you
I
an
did
A.
get it. I mean, I did get an A, but in fairness, it was. Like, it was so far above and beyond what other people did for the class. Like, this wasn't even a writing class. We got to like pick our own project. And I actually did a lot of work on it. But it definitely revealed some serious mental health issues that she could have turned me in for. And you know, I guess you could put it in a kinder way. You could say she like sought help for me. So I'm glad she didn't do that. If this had been like, thankfully I'm old enough that I went to school po before Columbine and before, you know, like 9/11 and shit like that, because I'm sure she would have had to turn me into the counselors if I wrote this play. You know, even though I've seen worse plays. I mean, I've seen Ionesco, so I've seen worse stuff happen on stage.
What do you say about Hamlet, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Right, I'll be like, "Yo, I'm Shakespeare, and you're trying to send me to the, you know, to the principal's office. Like, forget you." And that's probably how I thought of myself at the time. I really thought I was hot shit. So, still do, but
Still are. Still
now I
are.
really am.
Yeah, you got this
Yeah,
podcast.
I got a podcast, man. Like 20 years ago, I was just some dude who'd been on Jeopardy. Now I've been on a podcast, bitches.
It. So now back in the gym, Hottie Boxer beats the snot out of Hank, who betted her and never called her back. Hank pretty much has her beat the crap out of him
Yeah,
or
man,
whatever.
that the when he like, you know, when he gets bloodied like an actual boxer at the end, that was pretty awesome. He got
Yeah, I
his
mean, obviously he deserves
ass
it,
up.
and I don't know.
I don't know if he does. I don't know if he does or not. I mean, do you deserve to get beat up for not calling somebody back? I don't know.
Don't know. I'm just like, now that I, we're like older, I look back at like some behavior that I've done or has been done to me. I'm like, man, they really need like better instruction booklets on on, dating and stuff like that.
Well, that's you. I feel like I've done everything right.
But you did, so that's
Yeah.
why, we have the imperfect talking to the perfect.
Well, listen, that's why you've turned out like you and I've turned out like me. Yeah. That's what you do. Yeah.
So
Free
back
will, man. You got to make the right choices. Yeah.
predestiny.
Yeah.
At the bar, Runkle's like, "You should have called her. She seems angry." Hank's like, "Yeah, I don't know." He
Yeah.
go Hank goes deep and professes that most people never find somebody that they truly love. They say they do because everyone's a star in their own romantic comedy. And Hank and Runkle had people they loved and loved them back, but they screwed it up
Yeah.
because they couldn't control themselves for 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, this is definitely an older person show because they're dropping some serious, they're serious, some serious wisdom here. Like we fucked it up for some stupid piece of ass we forgot about 10 minutes later. Like that's real life, man. And a lot of us, some of us don't learn until too late, have to make the mistakes before
Uh-oh.
you realize they're mistakes and then hopefully don't make them again. But yeah, I mean this is a real scene, like Charlie wishing he had sown his wild oats, and I do think it's important for guys to do that. If they don't do that, I think they always regret it, and then they're actually more likely to do it later on, if when they get the opportunity. Because one thing is, guys often don't realize that, especially for the guys who like aren't real winners right off the bat, like their prospects actually improve later when they get older, and they get more established and things like that. So,
I
yeah,
was
it's.
talking to a young'un and like he's a mid-20s and he was saying that he's not the type to get like girls in high school. And I'm just like, I was like, when I don't like necessarily think that's true. Like, 'cause a lot of times like guys, especially in high school, they have their eyes set on like the super hot, whatever, X like cute chicks or hot chicks, but they don't notice like other girls that like them that haven't budded yet, and
Okay.
they whatever give them like 5, 10 years and they would just like each other great, or at least like give each other a chance. But
Oh yeah, sure.
I don't know,
Yeah,
I
well,
just
it's way different. High school is this pretty awful like social environment, right? And
I agree, yeah.
change a lot. Yeah. But it's definitely like, I mean, you look the it the thing is in high school when you're like really unpopular and stuff like that, like it's really tough that you don't even understand the bigger picture. You can't even look at the bigger picture and say like, this doesn't last forever, right? Like this is, and also it's just totally unimportant, right? It's like not important to be popular in high school at all. It is if you want to get like a girlfriend in high school though, right? Like that stuff matters, but like in the big scheme of things, like it's not.
Yeah,
But
but
you
they're
just
not
don't even
told
realize
that.
it.
They're always told like GPA, SATs, college, girlfriend, getting late, and just like
Oh, well, I had a totally different experience than you did,
oops.
so.
Shout out to
No,
good high school. Yeah.
nobody ever told me about a GPA or I never took the SAT, so.
Well, yeah, I mean I did want to do like, some bit because I did go to Gunn High School and it has the highest suicide rate in the nation. Like even when I was there, the pressure was already like not good. And I don't even know what I could say now. Obviously, I wish I could say stuff before to maybe help people. But the thing is, like, the expectations of like teenagers are too high. Like it's just unreal. Like in I think even our generation, the expectations that at least I was placed on, and the people around me were just like, they were unreal. They want us to be everything. And like now the standards are even higher, and the access to information and the it's more competitive now. And now you're asking these kids to like just try to be be everything. It's just like not real.
It's horrible. And the things people have to do, like basically people starting to churn resumes, like by the time they're 12 years old,
Yeah,
right?
I mean just
CVs or whatever, so they can try and get it's just you can't be a kid. But for me, my expectations were actually pretty low. The only thing I wanted to be able to do in high school was sow my wild oats, and I was not able to do so. And it's had lasting consequences. So I understand. But
Because
yeah,
now you triple up, so make triple soaked.
hey, I try. I do the best I can. Costs a lot of money though. Did you know, by the way, that Evan Handler, who I'm sure had no difficulties sowing wild oats when he was younger because he was in theater and apparently is a very handsome guy, which is weird because like I don't see it, but that's just because I'm anti-bald.
Judge a
And
guy by the inside, you know? He's
yeah,
Plus, he
well,
looked
yeah,
good
okay,
with
sure.
his when he
But
was in the airplane with the mask. He looking cool
yeah,
ninja.
listen, do you know this? Do you know that Evan Handler, when he was 24, was diagnosed with an acute kind of leukemia that was basically supposed to kill him? I mean, he was a dead man walking. He's
Oh
not
my
supposed to
gosh.
survive. Extremely unlikely to survive what he had.
That's a
And then
big
he
swing, and he
survived.
survived and then got on Californication. Now he's immortalized.
Yeah, no, it's pretty wild. Just he had kind of a promising career as a theater actor then, but could have been cut off right at the time. He had to under is pretty miserable what he had to go through to get over it. But yeah, it's kind of wild. I mean, you think about how, like here I am complaining, or here you are saying like, our lives have been hard. I don't want to
Well,
make
I
him rest.
definitely don't want to say that. I'd say like I have a lot of first world country problems. Like, when I got thrashed in poker and like I want to bitch, like I say that to you many times. I'm like, fine. I'm not happy, but like I try to do as much regime as possible to be like, look, these are first world country problems. People are like,
Well, we always adjust to our surroundings to maintain a base level of unhappiness.
sure.
Like that's what we do, right? So, you just get used to whatever you have. It's nice that we don't have to worry about eating, right? Like we
Oh
can eat,
yeah,
but the but
knock
but
on
it,
wood when going broke from poker.
yeah. But well, I mean, even then, right? Like you said, at heart you're a criminal, so you'll just steal the shit. It'll be fine.
Sure.
You got to do what you got to do. I'm mad at you. So,
So,
yes, Mia and Danny.
well,
No.
before that,
Oh
the
yeah.
name is revealed. The hottie boxer, her name's Laura, because
Okay.
I wrote that down. But
Okay.
whatever, I'm just gonna call her hottie boxer.
Yeah,
That's
well,
easier to remember.
that's her real name. So, her real
The hottie
name in real
boxer.
life is Laura. Yeah,
Oh,
Hottie Boxer.
okay.
Yeah.
So back in Runkle's office, Danny California finishes Mia's novel, and it's like, "Are you really 16? This is really good." And Mia's like, "Eh, don't tease me." And Mia snatches her book, is like, "I knew it, and like, there's so much, double, triple, quadruple entendre with I knew it, because it's like Mia, it affirms that it's good, and also she's one of the main characters in the book, and was, and like she was actually like, part of it. So, I mean, she should get part of the rights to the book, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I suppose you could make that argument given.
In a just world, like, since she was an inspiration
I mean,
or
she was the muse, right?
yeah.
Like Hank was looking for a different muse. He lost Karen, he found his new one, 16-year-old girl.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that's the same as Gabriel Garcia Marquez, so I guess it's a thing. But there was what doesn't she get asked like who are your influences in this scene? These are, by the way, this scene is the reason I don't think that Mia and Danny are actually a great like on-screen pairing, because they're like
I
the
agree.
same. They're the same. They're like the same kind of character. They're both cutthroat. They both don't have like a lot of emotional attachment related to like sex, and so they're both just completely willing to. I shouldn't even say that about Mia. That might be a little unfair, but they're both really willing to use their sex appeal and actual sex to move up in the world and get what they want. This is a kind of character that I think makes for compelling TV and exists on TV much more so than real life. But yeah, it's definitely a thing.
Well,
So.
again, I think this mirrors a little of real life a little bit, when it's like when two people are younger and they're like on the hype train, like this is lit, you're gonna be lit, and then they don't realize there's like a lot of hurdles to overcome before.
Yeah, if this would
Anyway.
have been 10 years later, like Mia and Danny would be all over the gram together for sure.
Yeah.
They would just they'd be just killing it,
So
They
Danny
probably.
California offers to represent Mia, and Mia's like, "Yeah, you're just an assistant." And then Danny's like, "You want somebody on the way up or on the
Yeah.
way out?" And then they have
Maybe
their
it's because she's
girl power
Bill's
move.
daughter, but like, yeah, how is Mia so good at like negotiating already? You know, like, I guess it's Bill's daughter or whatever, who knows. But Mia's pretty cutthroat, so she just
Sure.
gets it.
Back at the bar, Hank and Runkle are on their way out, and Karen and Marcy are on the way in, and then there's a little awkward thing. It's like, hey, once upon a time, all four of us would have came in together. That's a good
Yeah.
line. That's a good line.
No, this is the good, this is a really, the whole show is very nostalgic, right? But this is like a great kind of nostalgia episode because it shows like how people are both like at the same time, people are super nostalgic, but also hurtling forward, right, into the future. Like they're both nostalgic, but they're also it's there's this conflict between like nostalgia and wanting what's in the past and safe, but also being like excited about new opportunities and going forward into the future. And they coexist, right? And they're both real, authentic feelings. And it kind of comes out like in the fact, like, look where they all meet, like a bar, you know, kind of like a hookup place or whatever. And, you know, Charlie and Hank are doing their own thing, but then look at the way the conversations go, right? The very nostalgic, you know, while, you know, out looking for new and stuff like that. This, I thought, by the way, that Marcy, she was, man, her face is so good in this scene. She was like so appropriately angry at Charlie, just like, you know, really just kind of dismissive. And like Karen's bemusement also entertained me quite a bit, like the look on her face. I definitely, and you know, Hank saying like good times, yeah, like real good times, right? Because that's the irony, like these people, they're all nostalgic for the good times, but right now they all hate each other, you know, and like they're it's not good times, right? Like yeah, good times lead to bad times, lead to good times again and more bad times, and then like
Yeah.
that.
So back to Runkle's office. Danny in California asked why Mia punched him. And we've had this conversation in a previous podcast. And punching him, he's about to come. Mia's like, you tell me. Which, like, Mia's like, oh, I'm going to throw the ball in your court. Make you out of position.
Yeah, that's tough. I who could answer the who really knows why?
Who really knows? But it could
Maybe
be
just
a.
because it's hot.
Yeah, it's all like a lot of things could be combined. It could be like ABC 123, who knows? And then Danny was like, maybe she wants him to wake up or to remember him. Maybe it's really hot, you know? And I thought that it was definitely, I think, a remembering and a power trip moment, like who's in control of the
Yeah.
situation. But I don't know. Who knows? Only Tom knows, if even then.
Right. Well, whoever knows, right? But I did like the line where Danny like talked about Hank Moody, and like Mia mentioned that Hank Moody was one of her influences, and she was
Oh
like,
yeah.
"Yeah, I don't know what happened to that guy. He was
He's
such a great writer. Poor guy was such a great writer." It's like, yeah. He like, I did she really not realize at that point that she was reading Hank Moody? I guess not. So.
People mature and change styles, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Then
But
yeah, Danny asks what does Mia's parents think of it? And then Mia says, you know, dad, blah blah blah, mom passed away, and you know. And then
I
Mia's
mean,
like,
her dad would obviously be horrified by this book. He thinks Mia is such a
sure.
good girl, which he's an idiot. But
It's a show. But Mia's
well, he just
like
has an idealized opinion of his daughter.
Mia's like, maybe Hank Moody can write the screenplay, which is like, I don't even understand that line, I guess, though.
It's, I mean, if you think about it, right, like she's, well, she's kind of telling on herself, right? It's like, why is she talking about Hank Moody so much, right? Well, okay, you know, there's something going on. It's like she wants to tell the real story. She wants to tell what really happened, but she can't. So she just kind of lets it out in ways that are opaque.
Do you think this would be different in like this day and age, especially, I don't know, so, you know, like it's so tough because like you hear different instances, like say Chris D'Elia or just like Johnny Depp and was the comedian, the Indian comedian?
You're talking about the guy from Parks and Recreation.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name.
I'm gonna look it up really quick, but yeah, but just like. The same instances as in
Aziz Ansari.
Aziz, yeah, Aziz and sorry. All these like variants of supposedly a singular event, and they could just like go in all these like different directions, and it's just like, who the hell
Oh,
knows?
no, I mean Hank Moody would never survive today. He would be in, I mean, he would be in real trouble. I mean, I think for something like this, you have a chance of being forgiven because it's a little bit less malicious. Like Hank Moody, he doesn't, obviously there's a lot of stuff would have to be toned down, but Hank Moody doesn't trap people in their hotel rooms and block the door with his dick out. So, I mean, he's
Well, that's the all the like that's universally, the Harvey Weinstein stuff's universally on the deep end, off the deep end. But like
Sure.
stuff like, Aziz Ansari and just like Johnny Depp and just like, even Louis C.K. or like, it just it's like there's definitely aspects that are not good, but how much of this like what is the appropriate way to do things and how much is like awkward versus truly like bad slash evil,
Yes, I mean, I think there's a reason why Louis C.K. is punished more than Aziz Ansari.
Yeah, I feel like
And
Aziz Ansari got punished so much more unfairly. I don't know. There's some stuff that just like when somebody publishes a memoir and doesn't reveal their identity, it's like a one way, shots fired kind of thing. It's just like already there should be some semblance of just like, well, they don't want to take the blame. They just want to fire shots like one way, in my opinion.
I'm staying away from this one.
Okay.
I don't disagree with you specifically about Aziz Ansari, but I'm uncomfortable getting into the topic.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyway, I just shot myself in the foot. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of like bad stuff that it goes on, and then Hank, with Mia is definitely, this is definitely treading on
Oh,
tough areas.
it's not treading on it. I mean, like it's bad. I mean, he's gonna be in real trouble. I do think it's something that people could forgive for just in general, but I don't. I mean, he's gonna be. I mean, here's the thing. What if maybe this is what you're asking? The fact that it happened is one thing, and he would definitely be in legal trouble as potentially as well as. Career trouble and things like that. But then writing about it, right? Writing about it and making that the theme of your book, yeah, there's no way he would survive that. That would be that's pretty bad. I mean, if you find out it was a true story, how it plays out if he doesn't write about it is gonna depend a lot on how he manages it and how he handles it and his authenticity and whether his remorse is believed and whether people are willing to forgive for an accident and I mean probably some stuff would matter that maybe shouldn't matter but like what photographs of the 16-year-old are used if any right if photographs get out which hopefully wouldn't happen but things like that could even matter So yeah, I don't think he would. He'd be in real trouble in 20, in 10 years later,
2020, or yeah,
2020.
but part of it is like having this podcast. It is 2020, so we get to review a lot of stuff. And man,
Yeah,
he would.
there's no doubt this show pretty much can't exist in 2020. And certainly the behavior of the characters. I mean, just when like I was actually taken aback when Runkle, after getting blackmailed for sexual harassment.
Just like
Slapped her on the
reneges,
ass on the way
yeah.
out. I was just like, but the thing is, it was in some ways it was appropriate, right? Because it was this moment where it's like, okay, we both know what went down here, right? We're both on the same page. Like, we're both cool with this kind of exchange of power for sex, and that's what's happening here. Like, it was like Charlie basically saying, like, yep, okay, I get it, you're blackmailing me, but I'm cool with it. Like, we're on this, we're cool. I'm cool with the blackmail. Here's some more sexual harassment for you on the way out. Like, we're good. Doesn't really fly, And I would hope that people interact in a different manner at the workplace now than they used to, but
Sure.
one never knows.
Sure. And now Boxer Hottie still wants Hank to apologize for not remembering her, blah blah blah, not calling her
Which is
back.
wild, right? Like, how I know someone who's slept with so many girls he doesn't remember their names, but like not actually remembering someone, that's harsh, man. And also, in this case really unrealistic for what we're about to find out, because you would remember that. You would remember that. But yeah.
Marcy, this is the scene that actually was the most amusing to me, because Marcy was, commenting on her affair with Danny Elfman. It's like making a girl orgasm is like disarming a bomb. This is like, and then I heard it's like 99% mental. And Marcy says she wants to go back to dudes.
Yeah.
And
So I, with the 99% mental thing, what I try to do is I just try to like whisper in her ear that like I'm a really attractive guy. I'm like, oh, look, I look like Sean Connery. I have a slightly above average penis. I just,
when he was still alive.
exactly, right? I look like a younger Sean Connery. Like I'm very attractive. I'm a really powerful guy. And that stuff, it never works. So I don't know about the 99% mental thing, but yeah, it sure seems to me to be difficult to get a girl off. So, I'm feeling Marcy on this one. Not feeling her so much when she says she'll take a mouthful of cock any day. Only on Wednesdays for me. But the yeah, it's true. I mean, it's guys are easier than girls. There's no doubt about that.
Sure.
You know, Wayne.
What? What? So, Marcy spills that Hank bought a ring for Hank, an ancient ring, and my favorite line of Marcy's like, "That's the cool kind of jewelry you like, right? From a dead person's jewelry."
Yeah, no, that was a great line, right? Because Marcy was actually killing it in this scene. Then she made fun of like the Canadian diamonds, which is inappropriate, by the way, because they have these they have these artificial diamonds now that are the same as regular diamonds, and there's absolutely no reason why we still use children to mine for diamonds. It's completely
Oh
unnecessary.
gosh, yeah, that's
But
terrible.
yeah, that no Marcy just crushed it in the scene. Like pretty much the whole way through, it was just an amazing dialogue.
Yeah, so like, the whole ring conversation, this is like, I guess, an education for at least guys, for me. Like, I don't even like understand how much like giving/getting the ring is like such a, because I've heard from multiple cases, like, giving like the gesture of giving a ring and then receiving it is like a big thing, I guess.
Yeah, I would think it's a huge thing. Also, if your ring is subpar, it is a disaster, right?
So it's like I know, but like I don't really understand, I guess. Like I know
Yeah.
it's a thing, but I don't really understand like the
Yeah.
psychology, I guess.
It's tough to for me to understand too, but we're not the right people to understand.
Right.
But yeah, go find yourself a girl who doesn't want a conflict diamond, by the way. Wearing conflict diamonds is for shitty people, so go find yourself the right girl and yeah.
Runkle and Hank have three-way with Hottie Boxer and or whatever. Runkle want, is like, Hank, like we're gonna get it on, but you need to be the third person to threesome. And I'm just like,
Yeah. Been there.
Hank's like, or Runkle's like, look, I don't get a lot of action. This is why I'm asking. And Hank's like, I know. Then Hank reluctantly accepts, and they
By the
have.
way, Runkle doesn't get a lot of action despite having action with Marcy and then action with his secretary, and he's been on the market now for what, like 2 days, and he's declaring that he doesn't get a lot of action. Like, this dude's like a big time agent. Like, maybe pre-Marcy, he didn't get a lot of action, but he's gonna get a lot of action now. Like, I don't know what he's so worried about.
A
But
show,
yeah.
yeah.
I mean, he wanted action at the moment. So,
Then they
yeah.
try to set their boundaries, and
I gotta ask you a question. It's not the most appropriate question.
all right, that's what this thing's for.
Can you actually cross swords in a vaginus? Because I just learned like last week that you can actually impregnate a girl from the back end, which I did not know.
Really?
I genuinely did not know this. I live this long on this planet and I did not know this. And I have to make a sincere apology right now to Baba Jide Akinyele, who in 5th grade asked me if you could impregnate a girl by fucking her in the ass. And Baba Jide, I sincerely apologize because I was wrong. I said no. I was only in 5th grade, but I knew a lot and I was wrong. And for whatever the consequences have been for your life, man, I'm really sorry. I'm just gonna say that. Can you cross swords? I guess you probably
I
can, huh?
don't know. They mentioned in Entourage that like Turtle and Drama cross swords, so I was like,
Yeah.
I've never been.
I mean that I don't know if you can or not, but yeah, I mean the issue is more your swords are like really, really close to each other. If you cross swords, it would be on, okay, I'll leave this alone, but if you cross swords, it would be on the outside, I think, not the inside. I'm just saying. All right.
So,
Moving on.
Mia.
My bad, guys. My bad. My bad. Thank you.
Mia hands Danny California the novel. And, yeah, it's off to the races.
Yeah, I have no notes on this scene. It wasn't interesting.
Marcy professes to Karen that she misses Runkle. And, it's. Yeah, and,
Also, Bill makes her labia shrivel. That was awesome. But
Ooh. Wanted to forget that line, but anyway.
no, it's a great line, man. And yeah, I like it. I like the scene. It's, it this th this is just real life, man. She's like, I know it's, like anti-feminist, and then she's like, she has this like great scene where she's like, I fucked up. He fucked up. I want to go back to the way things were. And that, man, that's just too real. That just gets it right there. Yeah.
So, threesome time and
Devil's threesome time, everybody. The name of the episode. Aren't you excited? Such
Lord.
an exciting scene.
Yeah, and this is like it's graphic, obviously, and
Can you imagine acting in this scene? Like, think about what Evan Handler had to go through in this scene. Like, all the pumping and the stupid look on his face, right?
he's a
And like,
pro though. Like that, like
oh man.
honestly, he's a
Ugh.
pro. Like he like What he was
Ugh.
doing is he's proud of his work.
This guy came up as like a classically trained theater actor. He thinks he's gonna be doing like Shakespeare and shit like that.
Gotta go
And
there? Why
this
gotta
is where his career ends
go
up, right? More money. But oh my goodness, man.
Evan Handler, if you're listening, props to you. And just like, this is what, like, when people want to be like actors, they kind of like forego, hey, what if you had to do that, would you do that? And then Evan Handler would be like, fuck yeah, I'm getting the paycheck.
Okay, and the thing is, I don't blame him for getting a paycheck, but I'm not even joking. Like, as much as I'm making fun of it, this scene by Evan Handler, it's a completely absurd and grotesque scene. It's actually really well acted by Evan Handler. If you look at the way his face changes, like when he gets caught to where when he like starts kind of laughing at the absurdity of everything, but then he becomes kind of like horrified, and it all happens in like this moment, and it's like actual real life. Like he really does a great job. Despite it being a completely absurd scene to have to act it. Like, so I'm not hating on his abilities
Oh
in any
no,
way,
and I'm
but
sure he's proud
man,
of
oh
his
man.
job too. Or I mean, just like,
I
yeah.
couldn't do this scene without laughing my ass off the whole
Same.
time. Like, it's completely absurd, like, to have to like act through this. And the girl has to act through it like naked too, man.
Oh
Like,
man,
oh my
yeah.
God, just like, oh, I just,
The craft for the craft.
oh my goodness, man.
shout out to guys who don't know how to act, bringing sexy back. But yeah, Marcy and Karen bust into the threesome, of course, because it's a show. We had like, Tom Campino's again,
Well,
genius
and
for.
let's think about what's happening here though before you get to like the actual scene. Hank and I'm sorry, not Hank and Karen. Karen and Marcy are drunk, right? Or tipsy at the very least. They've just been incredibly nostalgic. Marcy has just told Karen about the ring, right? Marcy's feeling nostalgic. She wants to go back to the way things were. There's a real chance that they can go back into this house right now, reconnect with Hank and Charlie, and live happily ever after, for whatever that means. Like there's a real chance that this moment in their lives is going to be about reconnecting with these guys they miss, and that, fueled in part by alcohol, in part by a legitimate desire to go back to the past, and the emotions, that like Karen's having about the ring and knowing that like Hank was going to propose to her and things like that. Like, this could be basically the end of the show right here, because it could be the moment that they reconnect and there's, the drama. And then to have this particular thing happening at the moment when they come back is just that's some who's the right playwright for that, man? That's not even Shakespearean. That's like complete theater of the absurd shit. That's like, that's like really Ionesco or Edward Albee or something like that. Like that's it's just wild,
You're
right,
past
to
my pay
have.
grade.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's Molière. No, just so, but this is just absurd, right? So, I mean, in that part sense, it's kind of a good scene, but it's also like really tragic, because it's this awful moment. This is really like a, this is, it's, I mean, it's kind of like the end of Romeo and Juliet, right? Where you show up and like, it's like one person's already dead, right? Because false information, right? Like these people, they're showing back up at the house to reconnect, and then it's like, holy shit, I guess we can't reconnect with these douchebags, right? Like, yeah. So, anyways, continue on this amazing, amazing scene. Remember this? How could you not? How could you not remember? How could you not remember someone who is such a prolific squirter, right? There's absolutely no way you would remember that. Like, he remembers in the moment, oh, I just remembered. Like, come on, that's not realistic. We know Hank's got
It's
around.
a show,
But
yeah.
also, question for you, Wayne. Question for
False.
you.
False. None of the above. E, none of the above. Go. Fire. Fire away.
When did Hank sleep with her? Because I've always thought that Hank didn't cheat on Karen, but
I don't know.
it hasn't been. He actually says at a certain time,
A year
right
ago
there.
or something?
Yeah, he says a year ago. It hasn't been a year in the show, right?
I don't know.
Like, did Karen really meet Bill like a year ago? Maybe that took a while to plan out with his house or whatever. I don't really know. But it has not been that long in the show. So I don't know. It struck me as odd.
Yeah, I don't know.
Struck me as odd. All right, back to you, Wayne. Take it away.
So, yeah, Karen and Marcy are like, you guys are nuts. What? And, this is obviously very civil. If this were happening in real life, things would be flying. There'd probably be dead bodies, I know. Like, relationship or not, exes or not, like, this is just like. And they have a conversation after. Karen's like all shaken up because. And Karen's like, you got me a ring? I'm just like,
I would expect there to be a lot of yelling, and screaming, and possibly the police end up being involved at some point. But the scene itself was so absurd. I kind of understand the bemused laughter and like the kind of absurdity with it. Because like in Charlie's position, like I could totally see being in Charlie's position and being like, "Oh shit, this is like the worst thing that's ever happened." But just laughing my ass off at the scene, like kind of taking this like bird's eye view, like almost like this out of body experience where I'm like looking down at the scene from above and just being like, "Oh holy, this no, this cannot be real. Like this cannot really be happening like this." Exactly as it is right now, because it's just wild, right? But yeah, I would expect in real life somebody would end up dead. Like the they're there would have at least been a beat down. Maybe it wouldn't have been that bad because the boxer girl might have got involved, like on Hank and Charlie's side. She might have taken out she might have killed Marcy, who knows.
So, yeah, Karen is
I
like.
imagine her, by the way, in this scene. Like imagine being her.
Oh, man.
Like she's just like, what the fuck?
Then they're outside, and then Hank is with Karen. He's like, you never gave me a ring. And then Hank's like, are you questioning things? And Karen's like, it's good to question things. It's healthy. And Hank professes to Karen. It's like, oh, jeez. It's like, if this, like, there's life lessons here. It's like for if guys and girls just get over certain humps, like they can just live happily ever after. You don't need to be so prideful about like if Hank's like oh, I didn't want to he all you had to do was get a ring back in the day,
Yeah,
like
speak for yourself, man. You can't get over. The problem is, once you give them a ring, they own you. Just saying. Never giving up that pride.
Uh-oh. You have
Never
some
giving up that
insight?
pride.
You have some
No,
insight?
I really don't, because I speak only sarcastically, because my own marriage, despite failing of my own accord, was not like that at all. So, but yeah, it's really weird. Like, why does Karen? I guess it makes sense that she cares, but she does seem to be looking for kind of excuses, right? Marcy seems to be priming the pump to try to get her to leave Bill. It's kind of a strange situation. And yeah, why did she go back? Like, you know, because she's drunk and this dude got her a ring. Did he, by the way, he says he gave the ring to a homeless person. Did he? Did they show that?
I don't
He
think
says he gave it to
so.
a homeless woman after he realized, like, you know, Karen was wouldn't take it or whatever. I forget. I don't.
I don't know. That's gonna have to go back and check
Because
that one out, fact
I
check that one.
remember. Well, I remember he got when he got all that money, right? He overpaid for that guitar from that guy because, you know, he. But I could see him doing something like that too. Like I could actually see Hank totally doing that, like realizing that it was going to be futile to give it to Karen, and then just like walking out and like seeing like a homeless person and just be like, here's a ring for you, you know, or whatever. I could see him doing something like that. He doesn't seem too hung up on money, and
You
he
said
does.
hung. I'm just kidding.
He's hung. He's hung. The ladies say.
So just as they were about to, Hank and Karen about to kind of have a moment, Boxer Hottie comes out and is like, "Good night, Hank." And then Karen's like, "Pfft." And Hank's like, "Pfft." So,
Yeah.
oops.
Well, notice though he said goodnight champ, still doesn't know her name. And then when he said Karen, he said goodnight and then he paused and then he said Karen, right? Because
Yeah, because
you know
he knows her name.
he had to it took him a little bit to remember though. But no, I think it's because I do think it actually meant something, right? That he called Karen by her real name there. I don't know what, but I think it
Sure.
I think it meant something. So yeah,
Well,
that's pretty much it.
I mean, this episode, like, we thought there wasn't much, but we hit definitely hit over an hour mark,
Oh,
and
dude,
I've.
I thought we killed it today. I'm not gonna
Oh
lie.
yeah,
Like we always kill it, but we were on point today. Like there was this is just a brilliant analysis of
I
that
wonder
episode.
how much trouble I'm going to get for some of the, Aziz Louie and stuff. But
Well, I don't think you're gonna get in trouble, but look,
it's touchy, definitely. I don't know the answers, but
Louis's a creep. Just gonna put
yeah,
that out there.
for sure.
Yeah.
All right, the next episode's Hype AF. So, hope you guys enjoyed this thing.
Hey, hold on,
Smash.
Wayne. Do you actually want to ask questions about Jeopardy that you advertised, or do you want to hold it off till
Oh,
next
yeah, so
episode?
my bad. Yeah, go. Sorry, I apologize. Go. What was your
All
Jeopardy
good.
experience like?
So you guys can turn this off right now if you don't want to hear some bullshit. But Jeopardy experience was college. Was very interesting. I had never been to Southern California, and honestly, Jeopardy is part of the reason why I'm here because I loved it so much out here when I came out for Jeopardy that I, you know, finagled my way to going to graduate school here and then, you know, ended up, basically staying. Yeah, Jeopardy was pretty wild. You know, it was a tournament, and so we all had to kind of like hang back in the green room until we played because we weren't allowed to know the scores of the other people for like wild card purposes. It was interesting. Alex Trebek, he's a legend. He made a pretty interesting comment. I was observing from the audience because after we played our game, we were allowed to watch from the audience, which, you know, my first game I was leading going into Final Jeopardy, and it's a tournament. There are a lot of wild cards, and I actually didn't risk any money in Final Jeopardy because I already had enough money to, you know, get myself. I had done the analysis of like the previous years and, you know, how much you needed to get a wild card spot and things like that. So it wasn't worth risking any money for me, so I didn't. And I actually finished in second place despite getting it right because of that, which is fine. But people did not understand this at all. Like when I after the show aired, they were like, "What are you? Why didn't you wager enough money?" Like they didn't understand that like I was going to get a second episode out of it, that I was going to make the semifinals anyways. So they didn't really understand why I did that. So be it. I did, you know, I didn't do it to the max like the new generation does, which is correct. Like, what's the guy's name? James, whatever the.
Carl Hulsauer.
James Holzhauer, right? So he does it to the max, and then I think Arthur did it as well. But so these guys now they go balls out on the daily doubles. I did not do that entirely, but I did it, you know, more so than anybody else who was in the tournament with me, and more so than most people who were on the show at the time. In my second episode in the semifinals, I got a daily double pretty late, and I did not do a pure double. I did close to a pure double, and I really regret that because it was a category that was really good for me, and had I done a pure double, I would have mathematically clinched the I would have mathematically clinched the win. As it stands, I had 15,300 going into Final Jeopardy in the second place contestant, and she actually went on to win the whole thing. She had 8,000, and so I had her almost doubled up, but not doubled up entirely. So if I missed Final Jeopardy and she got it, I was going to get eliminated, which I did miss Final Jeopardy, unfortunately. And it was my fault. I really blew it. I should not have missed this question. The question was, what two U.S. presidents served as governors of states west of the Mississippi? And this was prior to the second George Bush, who was the governor of Texas, so he did not count. And the answer is Reagan, who served as governor of California, and Clinton, who was the president at the time, dating myself, unfortunately, but Clinton was the president at the time, right? When I talk to my students now about Clinton, they don't even know what the hell I'm talking about, right? They're like, oh yeah, that's the guy who in history got a blowjob in the Oval Office. That's legitimately what they know about him, right? They don't know that, Clinton, basically, destroyed welfare and passed a crime bill, and he's just all around piece of shit. Very conservative Democratic president. But yeah, so like the other one is Clinton, who was the governor of Arkansas, which this was really a geography question. And embarrassingly, I didn't realize that Arkansas was west of the Mississippi, despite going there as a kid, and crossing the Mississippi. I had just forgotten this, much like Hank forgot, the Hottie Boxer. So I missed it. I instead thought it was like a trick question. They were both going to be governors of California, and I said Reagan and Nixon. And this was a particularly terrible answer because I knew Nixon's history, and I knew that Nixon, he actually ran in the gubernatorial race in California. He lost, and he said after that gubernatorial race was over that you won't have Tricky Dick to kick around anymore, right? Or you won't have Tricky Dick to knock around anymore. He basically claimed he was never going to run for public office after losing the governor's election in California, which turned out to be false. He ended up running for president and winning, of course. And so I knew all of that, but there's a time limit. You have 30 seconds, and there's a lot of pressure, and I blew it. I really choked. And so that was embarrassing. But the Alex Trebek story that I kind of alluded to and then didn't get to, which I'm not sure I should tell, honestly, it's funny because I just reconnected after Trebek's death. I just reconnected with another contestant who was on Jeopardy with me, who we haven't talked for a few years now. And he just kind of hit me up, and we just kind of reminisced about this particular incident specifically. But Trebek was pretty inappropriate, and we talked about Californication not flying in 2018. Trebek was never inappropriate on the air. If he was, they probably cut it out because they actually cut out in the semifinal match that I played in before Final Jeopardy. Trebek actually said on air while the show was being recorded. He said to me, while before we went to Final Jeopardy, he said, "A most impressive performance by you tonight, young man." And then when I lost the show and choked, they cut that shit out. So he never said that. That shit is, no one has ever seen that on air, right? Because I lost. I guarantee you that stays. If I had won the episode, I guarantee you that stays. But because I lost, they cut it out because it was no longer an impressive performance, bitch.
Sure.
But the inappropriate thing that Trebek said, which was incredible, there was a guy on the show. Have I told this on air before? There was a guy on the show who was over 7 foot tall. Okay, he was not on my episode. He was on another episode. He was incredibly tall. You really don't see people that are 7 foot that often. It's really tall. It's noticeably tall. So he was incredibly tall. And at one of the breaks in shooting, right? They're not filming, although probably film exists, but they're not filming at this time. At one of the breaks, he does go and he will talk to the contestants, like, at the breaks when they're not filming as well. They always do the thing on the show where he interviews them, but he'll talk to them as well. He's kind of like pre-interviewing them, getting them ready for their like on-air interview. And there's a girl who's a contestant on the show, a woman. And he says to her, he says, you see Milo. Well, his name is Milo. He says, "Well, you see Milo, right? Milo's a big man, would you say?" She's like, "Yeah." He's like, and then Trebek says, "Milo's a big man, but I'm a big man. And like, we kind of had this discussion. It was like, does he have any plausible deniability here? Like, maybe he was just saying, like, oh, I'm a big man in Hollywood, right? Like, I'm big time Alex Trebek, like, whatever, kind of making a joke about it. But no, I mean, he was talking about his penis, right? I mean, like, that's what he was talking about. Like, and this was really inappropriate, but it was the 90s and you were allowed to do such things. So, yeah, good times. Anyways, Jeopardy was a really good time. I spazzed out after I lost. I was young, immature, uber competitive. I started cursing myself out pretty heavily. The sound lady had to ask me to stop cursing myself out, to take my mic off, to remove my mic, and then I kind of left the studio. I did call him back, and I came back to support the people who are still on, who, some of them were good friends this day. So, and I liked all of them except one of them, who, was like jokingly, not jokingly, threatening to stab people in the green room. Yeah, unsurprising, he went on to found an NGO. I'm just saying. So,
No, no go. Anyway.
yeah, so that was my Jeopardy experience. Any particular questions? Yeah, because I'll talk about this for hours.
I was
Everyone
gonna
else.
prepare like a custom Jeopardy for you in one of these episodes, but I haven't done it yet. I will do that.
Okay. Is it going to be? We should make a Californication Jeopardy, and we should have our fans play.
Sure.
Yeah, no, that's not gonna happen. That's too much effort, right?
I
But
know,
I'll tell you
but
what.
it
Listen,
sounded good.
if you guys want to play Californication Jeopardy, just sign up to our Patreon. If we can get how many Patreon subscribers do we need before we promise them Californication Jeopardy? All right. Well, just sign up. If you sign up, we'll give you something. I promise. Yeah, come on, just do it, guys. We're desperate. All right. Thanks again, Wayne. It was
Thanks,
cool hanging
Andrew.
out with you, man.
You too.
Reconnecting.
You too.
Yeah. Hugs.
This was one of our top 10 episodes since we only have 13. Had to.
Fuck off, man.
This is going on Reddit. This is going on the YouTube. This is going on the podcast. So, peace out, guys. Exciting episode. Next one.
Top 10 is good, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Later.
Bye.